RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian Financial Transaction Report and Analysis Center PPATK committed to increase participation in international level. Rupiah strengthens to 13,357 per US dollar. Indonesian military TNI drops Lebak military commander for involving hotline group in defend the nation training. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Financial Transaction Report and Analysis Center, PPATK, remain committed to increase its participation in the international forums in 2017. The commitment was stated by the center's chief, Kiagus Ahmad Badarudin, in his press statement on working program priorities in 2017 in Jakarta Monday. In his statement, Kiagus said that Indonesian Financial Transaction Report and Analysis Center's active participation in the international forums brings benefits for the center in increasing its performances related to financial transaction analysis.
Yang mendapat perhatian kami di tahun 2017 ini adalah penguatan PPATK dalam forum-forum internasional.
One of our attention is about the strengthening of Financial Transaction Report and Analysis Center in the International Forum. The measure is considered important for enhancing the center's capability both as organization and as individual. Secondly, is to strengthen our cooperations to help each other. If we actively participate in both regional and international forum, we will get helps easier with a better quality. Furthermore, Kiagus Ahmad Badarudin stated that the Indonesian Financial Transaction Report and Analysis Center has been actively engaged in several international forums, namely Financial Action Task Force, Asia-Pacific Group on Money Laundering, as well as in the ECMON Group of Financial Intelligence Units. After conducting the Counterterrorism Financing Summit in Nusa Dua Bali in 2016, the center's involvement in international forum has been significantly increased related to anti-money laundering and terrorism financing. The rupiah exchange rate in the interbank transactions in Jakarta on Monday morning, January 8, strengthened to 23 points to 13,357 rupiah per US dollar. Economy Samuel Sekuritas Rangga Cipta recently said in Jakarta, "The easing of global uncertainty is set, restoring the confidence of Bank Indonesia to support economic growth in the country." Bank Indonesia stated that there is a little room for monetary easing. Bina Arta Securities analyst Reza Priambada said the rising trade deficit and a decline in orders in the U.S. also repressed on the U.S. dollar and affected the rupiah. In addition, uncertainty about the U.S. trade relations and China made market players prefer to emerge the market of the developing countries. The Indonesian military, or TNI, has dropped Lieutenant Colonel Ubaidillah from his position as the district military commander in Lebak, Banten, after involving members of the Hardline Islamic Defenders Front, or FPI, in the military-run Bela Negara, or Defend the Nation program. The call was made after a picture showing FPI members involved in an agility training with the soldiers went viral on social media. Initial investigation revealed Ubaidillah failed to report the Bela Negara event to his superiors, Banten Military Commander Colonel Wirana Prasetya Budi and Siliwangi Regional Military Commander Major General Muhammad Harindra. Hendardi, chairman of Jakarta-based human rights group Setara Institute, said TNI's swift decision to drop the Lebak District Military Commander should serve as a warning for everyone in the institution not to play nice with intolerant groups. The activists also called on President Joko Widodo to re-evaluate the Bela Negara program, which has come under fire from a skeptical public since it was introduced by the Defense Ministry in 2015. Makassar immigration officials had arrested 9 Nepalese citizens on Sunday, January 8, in Makassar, South Sulawesi. They found 9 Nepalese in a house in Purimas Permai housing complex in Borombong sub-district, Tamalite district. The immigration office, led by Gindo Ginting, accused the 9 of lacking valid immigration documents. Now, they are being held in Makassar police office. Gindo said on Monday, January 9, the police will handle the legal matters and after that, they will be sent to the immigration officials. He added that the 9 Nepalese had been in Makassar for about a week. The 9 suspects are between 27 and 35 years of age. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The light rail transit, or LRT, connecting from Cawang to Cibubur in East Jakarta will enter operation in March 2019, according to Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi, later than a target proclaimed just a few months ago. Minister Budi Sumadi said in a statement on Monday, escorted by Antara News Agency, that the technical progress has reached 12% and he hoped the infrastructure for the LRT will be finished in the middle of next year. The ministry need 8 more months to finish installing rolling stock and the system. Budi explained that the LRT infrastructure used precast technology as high as 30 meters. Besides serving railway transportation, the LRT infrastructure also accommodated phone lines and fiber optic communication. The central government and state-owned contractor Adikarya plan to eventually connect Bogor, Depok, and Bekasi in West Java with Jakarta through the LRT system. The minister said the first phase was for a connection from Cibubur to Cawang, which would be followed by an extension to Bogor, because 30% of PT Kereta Api commuter Jabodetabek's 800,000 passengers are from Bogor. Surabaya's Premier Football Club Persebaya 1927 was readmitted into the Indonesian Football Association PSSI at its annual congress in Bandung, West Java on Sunday, January 8. PSSI has suspended Persebaya from all competition after an ownership dispute in 2010, after which the club joined the breakaway Indonesia Premier League. The Persebaya fans club, known as Bonek, has demanded many times that PSSI readmit the club to its premier competition, the Indonesia Super League. PSSI chairman Edi Rahmayadi sat at the Congress, as reported by state news agency Antara. 6 other clubs were also granted readmission by PSSI after lengthy suspension: Persibo Bojonegoro, Persema Malang, Arema Indonesia, Lampung FC, Persipasi Bekasi, and Persewangi Banyuwangi. The latter clubs however, have to play in PSSI's third tier competition, Nusantara League, this year. 7. Suspended PSSI executives also earn readmission to the Football Association as Sunday's Congress decided to lift their suspension. The last item. Indonesian state-owned electricity company PT PLN has disbursed over 7.7 billion rupiah for electricity infrastructure projects in Central Kalimantan. The projects include 20 circuit kilometers of medium voltage overhead power lines, 4 circuit kilometers of low voltage overhead power lines, 1 transformer with a capacity of 100 kilovolt ampere, and 2 transformers with a capacity of 50 kVA respectively. As many as 350 heads of household in Telang Baru and Juru Banu Village, Central Kalimantan, can now enjoy electricity supply. PLN South and Central Kalimantan General Manager Purnomo said that the synergy between the company and the people was key for establishing electricity infrastructure. Purnomo said Sunday, January 8, in a press release that electricity is the starting point of economy development and prosperity. The PLN is proud to be able to give a special present to the villagers of Telang Baru and Juru Banu. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Financial Transaction Report and Analysis Center PPATK committed to increase participation in international level. Rupiah strengthens to 13,357 rupiah per US dollar. TNI drops Lebak military commander for involving hardline group in Defend the Nation training. That was the news.
Listener, a commentary today entitled Towards a Better Transportation System. Traffic congestion becomes a problem that cannot be solved in big cities in Indonesia, especially in Jakarta. As ship road construction continuously done by the government is unable to accommodate the increasing number of vehicles from year to year. Jakarta, the capital city of Indonesia, has a very dense population. According to data from the Central Statistics Agency BPS, the number of Jakarta population in 2011 was about 9.9 million inhabitants. The size of Jakarta, which is not so big, namely about 664 square kilometers, has made Jakarta unable to accommodate all the business and social activities. Thus, it needs support from areas in the vicinity. As the capital city of Indonesia and the center of business, government, education, Jakarta is the main attraction for residents in nearby towns. No wonder that many residents in nearby cities such as Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi work and do business and educational activities in the capital. It is estimated that more than 4 million residents of Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi cities travel to Jakarta and vice versa on working days. No wonder that traffic flows from the cities to Jakarta and vice versa, especially during rush hours, are much denser. The traffic congestion is exacerbated by many people who prefer to use personal vehicles than public transportation. To unravel the congestion in Jakarta, the government has launched various ways, including building mass rapid transportation MRT, such as subways and light rapid transit LRT. The construction process of the underground or subway has begun since October 10, 2013, and it is estimated to be completed in 2018. The subway line will stretch approximately 110.8 kilometers, while the LRT project stretching along 83.6 kilometers has started since 9 September 2015. And it is expected to be completed by mid-2018. If the light rapid train project has been operating, at least 50% of Jakarta and Bogor that have had mobility will have alternative modes of transportation. Currently, as many as 30% of Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi, or locally called Jabodetabek commuter train user, come from Bogor. Hopefully, with the completion of the mass transportation rapid transport project, in the future the traffic congestion problems in Jakarta and surrounding cities can be resolved. In addition, convenient, safe and fast means of transportation is expected to invite personal vehicle users to switch to public transportation. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, it's nice to meet you again in our regular program Today in History of our Arrival Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on January 9, 1951, when the headquarters of United Nations, UN, was officially opened in New York City. Headquarters of the United Nations UN in New York, United States of America, is the most important location and the main place of the UN to hold session. At this place, General Assembly of the United Nations, the Council of the UN, and Economic and Social Council of the UN to hold a session. After the UN was established in 1945, this quarters was in London, but on 24 October 1949, the first town of the headquarters of the UN was put in New York. For that, John Rockefeller II granted around 7 hectare land at the eastern of Manhattan to the UN as its asset and as international territory. On 9 January 1951, the main building of the complex was finished and officially opened. The next event was in 1960 when the construction of High Dam was begun. The Aswan Dam is an embankment dam built across the Nile at the Aswan, Egypt. Since 1960, the name has commonly referred to the Aswan High Dam. The construction of the High Dam became a key objective of the Egyptian government following the Egyptian Revolution of 1952, as the abilities to control floods, to provide water for irrigation, and to generate hydroelectricity were seen as a pivotal to Egyptian industrialization. The construction of High Dam, which was begun on January 9, 1960, has had a significant effect on the economy and culture of Egypt. Before the dams were built, the Nile flooded every year during late summer when water flowed down the valley from its East African drainage basin. These floods brought high water and natural nutrients and minerals that annually enrich the fertile soil along the floodplain and delta. This has made the Nile Valley ideal for farming since ancient times. Because floods vary in high water years, the whole crop might be wiped out, while in low water years, widespread drought and famine occasionally occurred. As Egypt's population grew and conditions changed, both design and ability developed to control the flood and thus both protect and support farmland and the economically important cotton crop. With the reservoir storage provided by the Aswan dams, the floods could be lessened and the water stored for later release. And the last event was in 2005 when Mahmoud Abbas was elected as president of the Palestinian National Authority. Mahmoud Abbas is the president of State of Palestine and Palestinian National Authority. He has been the chairman of the Palestine Liberation Organization PLO since 11 November 2004. Has been Palestinian president since 15 January 2005. Abbas is a member of the Fatah Party. Mahmoud Abbas was elected on 9 January 2005 to serve as president of Palestinian National Authority until 9 January 2009, but extended his term until the next election in 2010, citing PLO constitution. And on December 16, 2009, was voted into office by the PLO Central Council. As a result, Fatah's main rival, Hamas, announced that it would not recognize the extension of Mahmoud Abbas as rightful president. Abbas was chosen as the president of State Palestine by the Palestine Liberation Organization and Central Council on 23 November 2008, a job he had held unofficially since 8 May 2005. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. daily news and events.
This is our arrival service, Voice of Indonesia, with our regular program, Focus. The theme of today's focus is Indonesian protest, OPN fled Austin at its consulate in Melbourne. Indonesian government strongly condemns the criminal acts that brought out into the complex of Indonesian Consulate General in Melbourne, Australia, and hoisted the pre-Papua movement flag. Spokesman of Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Nasir, at a press statement in Jakarta on Saturday said that the government has sent a protest to Australian government and urged the perpetrators to be arrested and punished according to the existing law. Citing Antara News Agency, according to information from the Indonesian Consulate General in Melbourne, criminal acts conducted by some separatists occurred on Friday at around 12:50 local time, when most of the staff were conducting regular Friday prayers. The perpetrators broke through an apartment building neighboring Indonesian Consulate General in Melbourne and then climbed the wall of Indonesian premise, which is more than 2.5 meters high. Armanata Nasir said it is the host country's obligation to respect the sovereignty of its friendly countries. Thus, it is required to maintain security and order in the neighborhood of the official premises of countries that open diplomatic relations with the said country. The same thing is always done by Indonesia to all official representatives of friendly countries' complexes in Indonesia. There is even a special unit of Indonesian police assigned to it. Armanata Nasir asserted besides the protest, the Indonesian government also reminded the Australian government of its responsibility to protect diplomatic and consular mission in the area of jurisdiction as stated in the Vienna Convention in 1961 and 1963 on diplomatic relations and consular. He added that the Indonesian government requested authority in Australia to ensure and enhance the protection of all Indonesian diplomatic and consular property in Australia. Meanwhile, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi asserted that the Australian authorities should immediately process the breakthrough incident and bring the flag raisers of the pre-Papua movement in the Melbourne consulate to the court. Minister Retno Marsudi said that Australian authorities should immediately complete the investigation and legal process of the criminals. She added that breaking through the compound of Indonesian consulate in Melbourne is a criminal act that simply cannot be tolerated. Therefore, Australia, as the host country, has an obligation and responsibility to immediately process the perpetrators according to the law and ensure the safety of all Indonesian missions in Australia. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Listener, coming up next, news in brief. Indonesian Financial Transaction Report and Analysis Center remain committed to increase its participation in the international forums in 2017. The commitment was stated by the center's chief, Kiagus Ahmad Badarudin, in his press statement on working program priorities in 2017 in Jakarta, Monday. The rupiah exchange rate in the interbank transactions in Jakarta on Monday morning, January 8, strengthened to 23 points to 13,357 rupiah per US dollar. Economist Samuel Sekuritas Rangkacipta recently said in Jakarta, the easing of global uncertainty, restoring the confidence of Bank Indonesia to support economic growth in the country. The Indonesian military, or TNI, has dropped Lieutenant Colonel Ubaidillah from his position as the district military commander in Lebak, Banten, after involving members of the Hardline Islamic Defenders Front, or FBI, in the military-run Bela Negara, or Defend the Nation program. Makassar immigration officials had arrested 9 Nepali citizens on Sunday, January 8, in Makassar, South Sulawesi. They found 9 Nepalese in a house in the Purimas Permai housing complex in Barombong sub-district, Tamalate district. The light rail transit LRT connecting from Cawang to Cibubur in East Jakarta will enter operation in March 2019, according to Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi, later than a target proclaimed just a few months ago. Minister Budi said in a statement on Monday, escorted by Antara News Agency, that the technical progress has reached 12% and he hoped the infrastructure for the LRT will be finished in the middle of next year. Surabaya's Premier Football Club Persebaya 1927 was readmitted into the Indonesian Football Association PSSI at its annual congress in Bandung, West Java, on Sunday. PSSI had suspended Persebaya from all competition after an ownership dispute in 2010, after which the club joined the breakaway Indonesia Premier League. The last item, Indonesian state-owned electricity company PT PLN has disbursed over 7.7 billion rupiah for electricity infrastructure projects in Central Kalimantan. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Tikus Island in Bengkulu. Stay tuned. Listeners, Tikus Island is located at the west of Bengkulu City, with a distance around 10 kilometers from the center of the city. Tikus Island is a small atoll which is rich of biodiversity. Besides, the island is one of destinations of forest tour. On the island, we can find many amazing coral reef and marine biotas ecosystem. The condition of its sea has white sand, and at night this place becomes habitat of scale and green turtles which climb ashore to lay eggs. Listeners, Tikus Island has fresh, clean and natural situation. If you visit this island, you feel as if this place is your private place. On this island, there is also a lighthouse, because in the past, the island was used as the stopover of the ships. Beautiful white sandstones as well as blue sea water, which is calm and far from crowded, will make you forget various problems for a while. Tikus Island is really a perfect place for vacation, releasing tiredness and admire the natural wealth of Indonesia. Listeners, the undersea beauty of Tikus Island is also very teasing. You can snorkel while you are accompanied by beautiful and small fish under sea. The beauty of its coral reef will give unforgettable experience. You can also do fishing at the sidelines of the coral reef. Camping on Tikus Island can become interesting agenda. Thousands of stars on the sky will become beautiful view. In addition, the sound of waves and the natural atmosphere of the beach will be a friend of your sleep. Listeners, Tikus Island can be accessed by using motorboat within around 40 minutes until 1 hour. Today, many travel bureaus offer some promos like underwater documentation, snorkeling equipment, etc. Prices set off 150,000 rupiah per person has includes tour guide, beverage, food, underwater photograph and snorkeling equipment. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Tikus Island in Bengkulu. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Memotong Rambut, which in English means cutting hair. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Memotong. Memotong in English, to cut. Pulang kantor. Pulang kantor in English, office break. Kemana. Kemana in English, where. Langsung. Langsung in English, directly. Pulang. Pulang in English, to go home. Salon. Salon in English, beauty shop. Tarif. Tarif in English, tarif. Tidak mahal. Tidak mahal in English, inexpensive. Ikut. Ikut in English, to follow. Akhir-akhir ini. Akhir-akhir ini in English, lately. Udara. Udara in English, air. Panas. Panas in English, hot. Pendek. Pendek in English, short. Segar. Segar in English, fresh. Lebih muda in English, younger. Bersama, bersama in English, together. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Memotong Rambut, or in English means cutting hair. The conversation is between A. Ida and B. Anna at the office. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Ida. Hai Anna, pulang kantor, kamu mau kemana? Hai Anna, pulang kantor, kamu mau kemana? In English, Hi Anna, where are you going after the office break? B. Anna. Pulang kantor, saya tentu saja langsung pulang. Pulang kantor, saya tentu saja langsung pulang. In English, of course I go home. Kamu mau pergi kemana? Kamu mau pergi kemana? In English, how about you? Where are you going? A. Ida. Saya mau ke salon. Saya mau ke salon. In English, I will go to the beauty shop. Saya mau memotong rambut. Saya mau memotong rambut. In English, I want to cut my hair. B, Anna, apakah kamu sering ke salon itu? Apakah kamu sering ke salon itu? In English, do you often go to the beauty shop? A, Ida, ya, menurut saya salon itu bagus. Ya, menurut saya salon itu bagus. In English, yes I do. I think it is a good beauty shop. Karena selain potongan rambutnya bagus, tarifnya juga tidak terlalu mahal. Karena selain potongan rambutnya bagus, tarifnya juga tidak terlalu mahal. In English, in addition to a good haircut, the tariff is also inexpensive. B, Anna, kalau begitu saya ikut dengan kamu. Kalau begitu saya ikut dengan kamu. In English, so I come with you. Akhir-akhir ini udara sangat panas. Akhir-akhir ini udara sangat panas. In English, lately the weather has been very hot. Saya juga mau memotong pendek rambut saya. Saya juga mau memotong pendek rambut saya. In English, I also want to cut my hair. A, Ida, ya, rambut pendek membuat kita kelihatan segar dan lebih muda. Ya, rambut pendek membuat kita kelihatan segar dan lebih muda. In English, yes, short hair makes us look fresh and younger. B, Anna, baiklah, nanti kita pergi bersama. Baiklah, nanti kita pergi bersama. In English, alright, we go together then. Sampai nanti. Sampai nanti. In English, see you.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow. And sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Hernita, in our segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you to Indonesian Kroncong songs sung by female singers Novita Indri. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Taman Laut by Novita Indri. Happy listening.
Thank you.
Listener, this song tells about the story of one of Indonesia's underwater natural beauty. As an archipelagic nation with the second longest coastline in the world, Indonesia is rich in underwater panorama. Beautiful coral reef, various types of colorful fish, and crystal clear seawater become a magnetism for travelers to come to Indonesia. It is a tremendous wealth of Indonesia. Lyric of the song that tells about the beauty of the underwater panorama is very suitable dedicated by Novita Indri. Her character voice is soft and plaintive. It is able to convey messages of the composer. It's a blend that makes the song enjoyable to be listened. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kesayangan by Tri Novianti.
Thank you.
Listener, we are often not able to avoid when the old memories comes again, especially fond memories with a beloved person. He or she invites the longing to repeat the memory. That was a glimpse of the song performed by Tri Novianti entitled Kesayangan. Tri Novianti, who has a melodious and gentle voice, was firstly performed at the Kroncong Music Show at TVRI station. But due to illness, Tri Novianti vacuumed in long enough time from the singing world. She began to sing again before the public after her condition began to improve a few years later. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Biola Kaca by Tri Novianti and Karangan Bunga dari Selatan by Isnarti. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.